10. The young woman behind the hotel reception desk looked no more than 25. Her accent was Eastern European. She was polite but disinterested, which suited Fran just fine. A motorway hotel was hardly the Ritz, but it would be clean and anonymous. They could rest, and Fran could try to plan their next move. They had a room available, the receptionist informed them, but because they hadn't booked online, they couldn't take advantage of the special rate. Fran expressed an appropriate level of disappointment, tried not to seem impatient, and said it would be okay. She paid with a credit card. She had a few with slightly different names. Surprisingly easy to obtain. She could have paid in cash, but that just made you stand out more. No one paid in cash for anything these days.
Number 217.
The receptionist gave them their key card. They climbed the stairs and shuffled along the bland, fusty-smelling corridor to their room. Fran buzzed them inside and they threw their rucksacks on the beds. She stared around. It looked, well, like every other budget hotel room in every other city up and down the country. The carpet was worn, the fittings chipped, and it smelt faintly of cigarettes, despite the no-smoking sign on the door. But the beds looked large and comfortable, and Fran really was exhausted. After almost 8 hours on the road, she just couldn't drive any further. When they first fled, she had taken them north to Cumbria. When the man had found them, she had driven to the opposite end of the country, the tip of the coast. Where now? Scotland. Abroad. But that meant passports, something she didn't have. She glanced at Alice, who stood in the centre of the room, shoulders slumped, arms hanging at her sides, too tired even to sit down on the bed. The weariness on her small face cleaved Fran's heart in two. It was like this at the start. Anonymous hotels. Always running, always afraid. No child should live like that. But then no child should die a bloody violent death either. Her throat constricted. Sometimes it hit her like a sledgehammer. Grief. A desperate, unrelenting sense of guilt. All your fault. But she couldn't change things now. She couldn't look back. She'd rather be blinded. She smiled wanly at Alice.
Come on, let's get some sleep.
She bit her tongue to stop herself saying something else, like, things will look better after we get some rest, because that would be another lie. Instead, she added,
I'll treat us to a McDonald's for breakfast.
Alice managed the weakest of smiles in return and pulled out her toiletries bag. They brushed their teeth in the harsh bathroom light, pulled on fresh t-shirts and leggings, placed their packed rucksacks beside their beds. Fran checked the windows were locked and pulled the heavy blackout curtains. They were on the second floor, which was good. She always refused ground floor rooms. Finally, she slipped the security chain on the door and tested it a few times. Satisfied, preparations done, she climbed into bed. Alice lay in the other double, cover pulled up to her chin, eyes already closed. The bag of pebbles sat on the table beside her.
Clickety-click. The Sandman is coming. Fran shivered,
despite the thick duvet and the warmth of the room.
She didn't understand Alice's odd sleeping episodes.
Although she had done her best to research the condition, narcolepsy, she had found out it was called. Unfortunately, there weren't any easy answers, no simple cause and effect. One of those medical anomalies that prove science doesn't have all the answers. And nothing she had read could explain the pebbles. Fran had exhausted Google and racked her brains but couldn't find anything comparable. Eventually, she had given up trying. What was it Holmes said? When you eliminate the impossible, the only answer must be the improbable. The problem was, dear Holmes, in this case, the answer was the impossible. Stick that in your crack pipe and smoke it. Alice stirred a little and snuffed into the pillow. During one of her episodes, she would fall straight into a deep, silent sleep. At night, when she should be sleeping peacefully, she was never at rest. Turning, crying out, moaning.
Often she thrashed around, screaming, gripped by terrible nightmares. When Fran went to try to comfort her, she pushed her away. It hurt, but it was understandable. Despite everything they had been through, all that Fran had done for her, the bond they shared, it was not Fran she cried out for in the dead of night. It was not Fran she wanted to soothe the nightmares away. It was her mummy.